Hello, ladies of No BS. Happy Sunday. Happy end of July. I'm so happy to see you, be with you today. I'm Coach Lizzie, and I am just so grateful that I get a chance to be your host, be your coach today. This is really exciting. It's like Corinne gave me the keys of the Ferrari. Let's take it out for a spin, right? So excited. All right, we're going to bring Coach Lisa up, if I can remember how to do that. The amazing and fabulous Coach Lisa is going to be joining us in the chat. She's going to be speaking in all caps. And so she's going to be helping you in the Q&A. And so, yeah, let's get our coaching on, right? Who's excited? Who's ready? This gal. So good to see you all. Hey, Laura. Hey, Jean. I have a couple of quick thoughts that I wanted to share with you, and please raise your hand if you would like coaching today, because this is, of course, a live coaching call. But a couple of thoughts. So, July is drop it like it's hot for Corinne's birthday, right? And it has been amazing, fantastic. We have the ladies of No BS have dropped close to 10,000 pounds. We are getting there. We are so close. The 10,000 pound goal is so within reach. And here we are in the the last week of the month. And I want you to just think it's never too late to continue to try. Because as we're, pushing towards a goal, momentum fades, motivation kind of drops off a cliff, and you're like, oh, August is Friday, and that like that kind of has a nice little like end to it. Maybe I'll just wait till August. Maybe I'll just wait till the first. I can get a nice fresh planner. No, it is not too late. There is never a wrong time to make your next best decision. So, a couple of things I wanted to remind you of is that when you submit your weigh-in information, so that's all in your No BS newsletter. When you submit your weigh-in information, you are entered in for some seriously awesome prizes. 20 No BS women will get, well, I don't know exactly how the nomination is happening, but 20 No BS women are going to get to spend an entire day in Nashville with Corinne or get special private coaching with MJ. I didn't even know that. Like, that is amazing. So you have the chance. All you got to do is submit your weigh-in information. And you may be thinking, oh, but I didn't lose weight. That's okay. What did you do? Did you submit or like go through a discovery worksheet? Did you drink your water? Did you go for a walk? Anything counts. Everything counts. And speaking of which, I wanted to talk about like what counts and, consistency and that type of thing, because a lot of times people think that, drop it like it's hot. It's a whole month long goal. And I do great for the first couple of days, first couple of weeks, and then, I kind of drop off. And my, I would be amazing at weight loss if I could just be consistent. Well, let me ask you this. What are you defining as consistency? Because a lot of times we think consistency means like, well, I need to walk or exercise or get in my movement every single day, and I need to do it at least 30 minutes, and I definitely have to get to the gym. And so, like, what are your rules around consistency? I really encourage you to question that, because I would say that if there's one thing that you take from this entire call, it is this. The key to consistency, the magic sauce to consistency, is to allowing a little bit to count, because not every day is going to be the same. And I guarantee you, not every day is going to be perfect. Life has a way of lifing, right? And so, when you have different things happening during the day, like let me tell you, the last 2 weeks of my life have been like, hold my beer, watch this. Between a house renovation, taking a kid to college, and like an emergency veterinary visit, it's been a minute. And life has a way of doing that. And so you need to be able to adjust when, the dog needs to go to the vet, or when, you get the unexpected phone call, or for various things. And so consistency is allowing a little bit to count on those days that don't go to plan. And so I really want you to think about that as we're narrowing down towards the last couple of days of July, last couple of days of Drop It Like It Hot. Is like there is so much opportunity for you to do a little bit. Because you probably remember, Corinne has done in the past the not good enough challenge, because our brains like to have that kind of perfectionist voice, and they say, well, just walking out to the mailbox is not good enough. And the not good enough challenge is, Corinne would challenge the whole membership to be like, I challenge you to take a week of doing things that are not good enough and see what happens. And lo and behold, people lost weight by doing things that were not good enough. And so I would really encourage you to hear that voice that says, well, a little bit's not good enough, and call bullshit on it and say, like, no, not good enough still counts. Anything counts, because that is the key to consistency. You've got to be able to show up when days don't go perfectly. Now, another thing that can happen when we're, pushing through this whole month and we're like, I want to, get my habits and send them in place. You might be saying, but Lizzie, like, I find that I tend to like fall back in my old habits. I'm doing great for 2 weeks or so, and then something happens, and life gets stressful, and I slide back into my old habits. Well, tell me this. When you clean your house, and then like a couple days pass, maybe a week, 2 weeks pass, and your house gets dirty, are you like, wow, the house got dirty. I don't know what happened. Or is it really normal? It's pretty normal. Like, we expect that, like, the normal way of things is that you clean the house, you live in it, and by doing so, it gets dirty. That's life. We don't find it surprising that we need to take a shower every day, because like you life, and you need to get cleaned off every now and then. Habits are the same. You need to put a little bit of effort into your habits to continue to maintain them. And the kind of natural way of things is life is going to kind of sort of drag you back to your old habits. That's not a problem. That's normal. And so don't use that as an excuse for like, oh, but I can't, stick up with my new habits. Like, no, you can't keep your house clean unless you put some effort into it. And that's not a problem. It's just normal. So last thing I want to leave you with before we get to like our coaching is, again, we've got just a couple days left of Drop It Like It's Hot. And there is definitely time, because every amount of weight you want to lose, that all of the weight that you want to lose is lost the exact same way. 1 pound at a time. Just 1 pound at a time. So this week, between now and Thursday night at 11:59, what can you do between now and then to lose 1 pound? That's all you got to do. Just think about that. And so my challenge for you this week is, instead of thinking about all or nothing, think about all or something. Is that whatever the day brings you, at least I did something, and that's always good enough. Cool? So cool. Okay, here we go. Let's have some coaching. We've got Emma is up first, and we'll see how this goes. Right on. Emma will be joining soon, I think. Great. Maybe. Emma, when you get a chance, unmute yourself and share your video. There we go.
Hello.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yay. Hi, how are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Excellent.
I would like coaching on that I spend quite a lot of my weekend at the moment thinking about work and thinking that everything about work for next week will be a disaster, and that it is all my responsibility. And I've tried, and I start off like, so for example, it's been the same this morning. This morning I woke up, I was like, oh, it's all going to be a disaster tomorrow. It's going to be a disaster. It's going to be a disaster. And I talk to myself and talk to myself and talk to myself, go out for a walk, try all of the things that would normally get me to calm down a bit. And I do calm down, and I have like little updates from the people who are working today on the things that are due tomorrow. So they start coming in. And then eventually, about 10 o'clock, I get enough updates where I'm like, all right, no, things will be okay. And then I can calm down. But I waste an inordinate amount of time most weekend mornings, just thinking, it's a disaster, it's a disaster, it's a disaster. And I just can't get anything to stick in terms of like pushing back against it.
Okay, so give me a little bit of context. In terms of it's a disaster, like, I guess, what evidence do you have that most Mondays, it's not a disaster?
I think it's more like what's the definition of a disaster? But really, what like we are selling a product to a customer, and a disaster is that the order just can't go out. So the order doesn't go, the customer's probably a bit naffed off. My colleagues will be a bit naffed off who are responsible for rescheduling the delivery, and we'll probably lose some money, like on something somewhere along the way. I have that conversation with myself repeatedly. I'm like, what is a disaster? Nobody is dying. This is not what's going on. It's not a life and death situation. No one's losing their job. I'm not losing their job. None of my team are losing their jobs even. So it's not a disaster at all. But then like it just ramps up again. I'm like, no, it's going to be a disaster. It is a disaster. It just doesn't, it I can't like win that fight.
Okay, so it sounds like, first of all, I just want to kind of give you a lot of props for the thought processes that you've already done. So it sounds like you've gone through asking yourself, okay, what exactly is a disaster? And you've come up with the answer of like, no one's dying, no
Not
one's losing
this.
their job.
This is not a disaster.
So when we say like, legitimately, what is the worst that could happen? What's the answer?
The products is not sent out, and we lose money, and a few people who are quite noisy will be noisy and really pissed off about it.
And what's the problem with that?
It reflects poorly on me, Lizzie, because I am responsible for everything.
Everything.
Everything. Yes,
Big job,
exactly.
Emma.
Which I know, but again, I can't, and I walk around and like I have heard you speak previously about like over responsibility and taking too much responsibility for it. Yes, you'll nod away and you're like, yes, I have listened to your words of wisdom. However, you just don't sink in at all because I'm walking along. I'm like, yeah, right, you are absolutely taking too much responsibility for this. This is ludicrous. Like, you are one person, you're doing the best with the resources that you've got. You put the plans in place. You really, really tried on Friday. I really, really tried. And still, I'm like, I could have done more, but I could have done more, but I could have done more. I could go in now. I could go to work now. And I could go on to, I think, no, I could have gone. But then I think, no, it's Sunday, man. Like, it's got. And also, they were just doing the job, and then they did it, and it was fine. But in the meantime, I've had like an internal catastrophe about it.
So it sounds like you have a great dialogue between like your rational self and your emotional self, and
Right.
you just very solid back and forth. So when I asked you like what's the worst that could happen, people would be upset. And I said, what's the problem with that? And you said, well, it looks poorly on you. Okay, what's the problem with that?
So I had that conversation with myself as well this morning because I thought, what would someone say to me? Yeah, what ha if everyone thinks that I'm bad at my job, which they don't, what's the problem? And that does help a bit until I think, like, I should be doing more. I should have done more. I just should have done more. Does that make sense? I don't know.
So I think let's workshop this a little bit. So I'm going to toss out some possibilities and you tell me if it lands or not. So either we have some perfectionist tendencies going on of like, I should have done more, I should be enough,
Probably,
which can often be a front for fear of just a lack of safety, and that you don't feel safe in your not like in job, but like, I'm afraid I'm going to lose my job, I'm afraid I'm going to lose face, I'm afraid of the amorphous things that I'm afraid of.
Yeah, and that's really interesting because I'm not afraid I'm going to lose my job. I think I'm really good at my job. I think that the only people who whose opinions matter about whether I'm good at my job also agree that I'm really good at my job. It make sense,
So what, first of all, is there a fear?
of losing my job? No.
Okay,
People
so
will think I'm bad at my job. No, not really. I do have sometimes what comes up, like I have like a thought that just pops in that's like, and everyone's gonna hate you. And I think, well, like that's not a thing either. And sometimes they might have to hate me because like I'm the boss. And if they want to hate me for asking them to do their jobs, then that's their choice.
yeah. Let's go back to that. So when your brain wants to constantly tell you, I could have done more, I could have done more, I could have done more, what are you afraid of if you don't do more?
That it'll be a disaster. That the work won't get done, and then I get to work on a Monday morning, and I think we'll get there if you keep asking enough questions. I just really can't get there myself. That if I'll get to work on Monday morning, and by the time I'm walking in on Monday, they've had 2 hours of like opportunity to create mayhem and carnage and what have you. And they're not particularly, my team are not emotionally resilient, and none of them have got life coaches or anything like that. And they get really, really emotional. So sometimes I can walk in on a Monday morning and everyone's already like needing scraping down off the ceiling. And so straight away, my job isn't even about fixing the problem. It's about just calming everyone's asses down. And I have to do a lot of emotional management with them and be like, no, come on, it's going to be okay. Like, let's walk over here and you're like, it's all going to be all right. And da, da, da. And that's, I find that really challenging to do every single day, all day for people. And I suspect that I'm probably taking too much responsibility for their emotions.
I think you might be right.
Yes. Because like everyone's happiness is my responsibility.
That's another big job. You got some big
Yes,
jobs, Emma.
I
Wow.
know. And I say that, I repeat that actually quite often. I'm like, this week has been hard. Why has this week been hard? It's because I've been trying to manage everybody's emotions. My eye just twitched thinking about it.
Okay.
I
Have you
just
ever
want everyone
heard?
to be happy.
Well, yes, that would be great. Which is another sign of you seeking safety, is that when we people please, when we basically we're wanting everyone else to feel happy so that I can feel happy, so that I can feel safe. If like if everyone's emotions are handled, then I get to feel okay. And so what that's doing is you are putting your emotional well-being in the hands of everyone else being okay before I get to feel okay.
Yeah, all 40 of them.
Whew.
I know.
Okay. Yeah. And so basically you are allowing their mental state to be responsible for your emotional well-being. Now, it's not to say that your team's emotional state can certainly impact your well-being, but they should not be responsible for it.
No.
Let's do a thought experiment.
Yeah.
Can you imagine a situation where they're freaking out and you're like, I am responsible for my feelings. I am responsible for my emotional well-being. How can I kind of be in control of my emotional temperature no matter what they're doing?
Well, that's what I would, yeah, that's what I would like. I would really aspire to remain like calm in the face of their flapping. Sorry, that's a bit demeaning to them. Like, it's very serious to them. It's their ceiling. It is up, they're at their ceiling. But I think because I think I well, I here we go. Think because I'm tired and I'm really overdue a break, like my own resilience is really, really like is lower and my patience is a lot lower. And so I've totally forgot what you even asked me now, if I'm being honest. But it like I don't really have any bandwidth for trying to calm someone else down, because I'm like, I already spent the weekend like trying to calm myself down, lads. Like,
Let's run with this. Okay, so your resilience is low. You don't have any bandwidth
no.
to calm someone else down. What's the problem with that?
Because they, because I don't really like them all. I don't like them being stressed. I don't think that people should be stressed at work. I don't like to be the kind of employer who has people who are stressed working for. Like, I don't want them to be stressed. I don't think that's nice. But that's their business.
Yep.
Isn't it? Well, it is and it isn't. There's well, here we go. So yeah, it is partly their reactions are their responsibility, but I do think that, and this is where I start taking responsibility again, which is like if we are building systems as a business that make life hard work for the people who have to do it, then actually it is our problem that they're stressed, and that's why I think it is my problem that they're stressed. They work for me. So if I've set up their job poorly for them,
Okay.
then
Are you open to a little bit of a challenging question? I'm going to give
oh
you
yeah.
a little tough love here. Where are you disempowering them?
Well, yeah, I suppose like it is quite a parenting, like I'm treating them like they're kids. Maybe. They act like it though. I mean, not all
Well,
of them, but they're not going to get any better. Do you know what? That's you. Sorry, I appreciate you were just about to say something.
no, keep going. I
But
think we're about to land on something here.
like I have had that feedback before, about 15 years ago though, and it was a bit of a different situation. And she said something like, "If you're going to keep on treating people like children, they will continue to act like children." And I'm like, yeah, maybe, yeah, I'm sort of misguidedly just trying to protect them a little bit too much.
Yeah. So when you overown someone else's emotions, you disempower them and you treat them a little bit like less than, like they are not capable of handling stress. So I'm going to handle it all for them so that they get a
Yeah.
nice cozy, cushy ride.
Yeah.
Whereas when you respect someone, you respect them enough to say, you can handle your feelings, you can handle stress, you can do the job that is actually the job that you're asked to do, that you're paid for. And like, I'm going to ask you to do it. And, you are responsible for managing that. And if there's, and you can kind of empower them by respecting them enough to say, you're a grown up. You can handle this. And if there's a problem, of course, you can be like, all right, here's the problem. Let's deal with this together. But one thing you can kind of think about is when you're rescuing them, you disempower them. But as their boss, you can coach them. They bring a problem to you. It is not necessarily your job to solve it. You can say, what do you think we should do? What are the, don't come to me with problem. Come to me with, here's the problem. Here's what I think we should do, and here's why.
Yeah, and again, I think that that's something that's really I've dropped off massively since I like hit my I just got really, really tired a few months ago for various reasons. But I've not really been able to take a break until next week. So I've just been sort of, clomping along, like, boom, trying to make the best of
Yeah.
it. But yeah, I think I probably stopped doing that entirely, really.
And
And
I'm
also, like, it feels good, doesn't it? That's the problem. That's what's like so enticing about the whole thing. And it's the feedback that I've given so many other people. I'll sit there and I'm like, you just love being the hero. Like, go on, go put your cape on then. Like, you're wasting your own time, though. You should be doing this, you should be doing the other. And now I'm doing it. So there we go.
It feels good to be needed.
Exactly,
It
exactly.
just does. But you're not doing anyone any favors when you're burnt out, you have no patience, and you have overowned to the point where you come in on Monday, you don't have any resilience left, and the first little hiccup, and you're like, lose it. And so if you don't owe it to yourself, which by the way, you do, but if that doesn't, motivate you, you owe it to them. To empower them to step into what they are capable of. Think about it for yourself. The best bosses, the best coach, the best mentor you've ever had didn't do it for you. They challenged you and said, Emma, I see you are capable of more. I see what you're capable of, and I believe in you. And because I believe in you and because I care about you so much, I'm going to challenge you to step it up.
I had totally forgotten about this part. Yeah. Where did that go?
And I want to acknowledge it is so hard. Like several years ago when I was a manager, I absolutely tried to wear the superhero cape. I made sure everyone's feelings were fine and I was miserable. And I was not a very good manager because I overowned their feelings and I did not empower them to step into who they could be. And so if you want to be a good boss doesn't do their job, their employees' jobs for them. A good boss empowers their employees to step into what their employees are capable of. And sometimes, like some of my best bosses gave me some challenging feedback. I was like, oh, ouch. But I look back now and I'm like, he was right.
Okay. Stop taking responsibility for everyone's emotions. That's
So
all I've got to do.
what is an action step that could either help you this week or like help you today as your brain wants to be like, tomorrow's going to be a disaster? Then what? What's the next thought?
Well, I guess that it's helpful to have the clarity that actually I'm not so bothered that about I'm not so bothered about the disaster, because it's not a disaster. I'm bothered about arriving at work and having to deal with people who are already needing scraping down off the ceiling, because that is draining. But now that I realize that, that's my actual concern. That's helpful in itself, because now when I start thinking it's a disaster, I can think, well, actually, do you know what? The lads who are in tomorrow are all usually quite chilled out. So I know who's in tomorrow. They're not the stress heads. So it'll probably be okay. I probably will get out of my car without someone toddling over to say, Emma, it's all gone wrong. And also, like, just reminding myself that it's not just because they think it's a problem, it is not necessarily a problem, and I can go and help them figure out that they can calm down and it'll be fine. Is that
Yes,
still taking too much responsibility?
I am. I don't think so. If you take the position of like, my job is to help them figure out for themselves where the solution is, rather than my job is to fix it. Like you can walk alongside them, but I want to. I was working on my book this morning, and it's amazing how like this happens to me so often when I'm working on a story, and then it comes up in coaching. So I was writing about how I had a manager once, and I would over catastrophize everything, and I would come to him and be like, "Rick, we got a problem," and he immediately would come back to me like, "Lizzie, we have a challenge."
Yeah.
And so all th what that did for me was to remind myself, this is a challenge. We can figure this out. And it opened me up to curiosity. It opened me up to problem solving. And also, he bounced it back to me saying, y "Lizzie, you can figure this out. I'll help you, but like, I'm not gonna fix it for you." And so, Emma, how can you, either when you're imagining Monday or when you walk in the door and someone's like, "Oh, we got a problem," how can you be like, "We have a challenge. How are we gonna figure this out together?"
Yeah, well, I can just say that to them, can't
I think so.
I? I think that everyone will understand it. Yeah, and like I just said before, I think that just realizing that what I am fearing is not it's not fixing a problem, it is dealing with someone who's overly emotional. And actually, now that I've just realized that that's what's going on, then it just makes the conversation a little bit more sensible, doesn't it? Because in my own head, because it just didn't make any sense at all. I think that's probably why I couldn't, like, I'm ping ponging away and I'm like, just ping pong more, woman. But I'm like, it's not this, like, this, it just isn't, nothing was landing at all, and I just couldn't move on from the feeling. And I thought, no, there's got to be a better way than this. And it's because I was just thinking about the wrong thing.
So it sounds like the thing you were afraid of is someone coming at you when they're already on the ceiling, and you were thinking you needed to fix it, you needed to solve it. And the shift can be when someone comes at you and they've already kind of lost it, they're on the ceiling, and you bounce it back to them and be like, "We have a challenge. How are we going to figure this out?"
Yeah.
And you empower them to come up with some ideas. And like, their emotions are their problem.
Yep.
How does this feel?
Yeah, no, that was really helpful.
Right on. Cool. So good to
Good.
see you again, my friend.
I know.
Great. All right. Thank you. Have a good rest of your day.
You too. Thank
You
you.
too. All
Bye.
right. Bye-bye. Oh, that was fantastic. How do I change back to attendee? I was like, like I said, y'all, I'm driving the Ferrari, and sometimes these controls are, a little fancy. All right, we got Zoom user coming on up. In the meantime, what do we got here? Got some Lisa clearly is all over it in the chat. Fantastic. Is Zoom user coming up? I don't know. Promote to panelists. Zoom user? Oh boy, nothing seemed to have happened. Oh, Zoom user declined. All right, so we're going to Susan Sharp. Promote to panelist. All right. Here we go. Zoom user, if you wanted to come up and it didn't work out, raise your hand again. Yeah, we have more than one Zoom user. So we'll get there. All right. In the meantime, we got Susan. Hi, Susan, you're muted.
Hello, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Good, good. So I decided to get coached today because I'd never been coached by you, and I thought that I wanted to find out more about like how I can address a situation given your advice.
Fantastic. Well, I'm so glad you're here. Thanks for the opportunity. What's on your mind?
About a year ago, I started a weight loss. Well, I've been in BS for probably 4 years, so I'm a long time member. I've never really been consistent with the program. I have learned so much by osmosis. Like, I mean, there are a lot of things that have changed, so it's definitely had a positive impact. But last year I decided, okay, I want to step up my weight loss. And I started a program where it was basically eating keto, and I was working with a doctor, taking some supplements that were to support your your body while you're losing weight. And I lost 35 pounds and I felt great. And I kept it off for like 6 months. Like I was doing really good. But I got to this point where I was happy that I weighed less. I still had more that I wanted to lose. I have another 40 to lose, but I was sort of just enjoying being where I was. And I went off of the strict, keto diet and started eating still well, but that evolved into eating terribly. Like I just, not eating, eating all good foods. So good being, not balanced with other, better and best foods. So where I sit today, I've gained back about 10 of the 35, and I just don't want it to get any higher. I don't want my scale to keep going up back to where I was. What would you recommend that I start? What would you recommend that I do at this point? Because I have tried to get back to that diet, and I can't. Like it's like I'm not motivated to do it that way again. Because it was difficult. Like it was the type of diets that Corinne always tells us not to
Yeah. So, I mean, all diets work if you can keep doing them for the rest of your life, which is great. Which also then, like, the corollary to that is, like, don't go on a diet that you don't want to keep doing 20 years from now. Which is also why No BS is not a diet. It is an action framework. So just by what you said, one would guess that you don't want to eat keto for the rest of your life. Is that accurate?
I find it difficult, even though when I went gluten free, I felt a lot better. So the gluten free aspect of my diet, I feel was very beneficial. But keto is too restrictive. I like carbs.
Sure. Yeah, they taste good and, bodies need them. So in your, if we're kind of do some future self and visualizing, what do you see as like the lifestyle you would like to enjoy at a lower weight? Roughly speaking in terms of how much you eat, what kinds of food you eat, things like that.
I would future self would like to eat well, enough, but not too much, and a balanced diet with vegetables, and protein that are sufficient for keeping my body healthy with, not losing muscle, not and with those types of foods that would help me feel better.
Okay. So if we're going with the no BS good, better, best framework, it sounds like maybe 70% of the time you're eating better, best foods, and 30% of the time you're eating good foods.
That sounds about right.
Okay. And, maybe 80% of the time you're stopping at enough, waiting for hunger. Sometimes you might overeat a little bit. Maybe on birthdays you have a little bit of an overeat, but most of the time you're eating to enough. Is that kind of what we're looking at? Okay. Amazing. We have nice framework we've set out for future you.
You said
What is
70, 30, and 80, 20, right?
it? Yeah.
Okay, that's reasonable.
Fair enough. So from where you are today, what is the main obstacle between here you are today and that 70-20, 70-30, 80-20 combo we just described?
I think that if I have, if I don't have the right, better, best foods available, I will opt for something that is in the good category, even if it's not something I really want. But it's just like the time to eat, and I'm going to eat whatever is available. And I have been falling short on meal planning and stocking my kitchen with the foods that will get me to that 80-20, 70-30.
All right, we're making progress. So when better, best foods aren't available, you'll default to good foods. Welcome to being human. And so there's an obstacle to having better, best foods frequently available. Sometimes it's not that deep. Sometimes it's just like a scheduling, a structural framework of your environment type of question. Sometimes it's a little deeper. So what would you say tends to get in the way of you on a regular basis having better, best foods available?
I went to the grocery store sometime last week and I bought what I thought was going to be supportive. So I had, vegetables that were already cut up, so it wasn't going to be difficult to do that. Greens, so I could make a salad. I bought eggs so I can have, protein on my salad. And I did make some hard-boiled eggs, so I thought was a win. And I ate those few of the days last week. But the greens are unopened. And so they are wilting in my refrigerator. That's where they went to die. So it's so I guess I'm not connecting the person who buys the ingredients for a really healthy, delicious, well-balanced salad, and the person who comes home with everything, and then when I'm hungry, I'm looking for something that's just, I don't know, is it the sugar that I'm sort of craving more sugar? Am I craving more, I don't know why I choose the cookies versus the apples that I bought, other than, like you said, I'm human, and sometimes we just go back to what we know is really tasty. But it's become more of an imbalance for me versus where I know the no BS principles want you to not make any food off limits, but it just has to have its place. And where I have definitely fallen short is on having that plan that I follow consistently and with all of the different types of things in my diet that will support me. So my plan is really not haven't been planning, haven't been, really restricting. So I feel like I've just gotten kind of out of what's the word I'm looking for? Just out of
Out of
sync.
the routine, out of sync. Okay.
Out of the routine, yeah.
So I want to circle back to planning, but real quick, do you even like salad?
I do. I don't like making it at home. I usually like just buying it when it's out. Like, I will eat a Panera salad all day long, but when I bring the stuff home, I am not one to make a salad.
So, I mean, that's good to know. Like, you're not asking yourself to eat something, that feels like tastes like cardboard to you. You actually like salads. It's just you're not making it for some mysterious reason. But if you go out and buy a Panera salad, you'll eat it, but you don't want to make it
Yes.
at home.
Right.
Could you go buy a Panera salad each day, or like go buy the large size, large one and split it in two, and you've got lunch for 2 days in a row?
I've done that a couple of times this past week. So, I did sort of realize that it wasn't going to happen with my now wilted lettuce and and greens and so I was like, I really just want something that's tasty but will make me, feel energized. And I went to Panera and I got a salad, and I felt good about that, other than I probably spent more money than I would if I were eating something I produce at home. But I'm also throwing stuff away that I bought at the store that I didn't
Interesting.
eat.
Again, we're going to circle back to planning, but just a quick hack. Sometimes what you can do is like you bring the greens home, go ahead and wash them all at once, put them in a bowl in your fridge. Maybe put some tomatoes on it. Probably not cucumbers because those tend to go bad quickly. But now you've got a large serving, and then for any lunch meal, whatever it is, you maybe throw some protein on a plate, like last night's leftovers, warm it up in the microwave, toss a couple, single serving of lettuce on it, and voila, you've got your salad. Because a lot of times, one of the things that's the biggest obstacle is just, I gotta make it. And if you can reduce the activation energy between eating it or like, having the thought, I should have a salad and actually eating it, if you can reduce the amount of work, that sometimes is all it takes. Do you think it's about that, or is it more about like, I'll plan a salad, but then I just want the hamburger and I don't know why?
No, I think it's the first, more the first one. I think
Okay.
it's just I tend to be more in that inaction category versus, taking action and making so taking action obviously makes more sense.
Okay.
And making it easy also makes sense. So those are really good suggestions.
Well, let's be clear. You have been taking action. You bought the pre-cut vegetables, you bought the greens. And so you're
Okay.
already halfway there. So give yourself some credit. It's not like
Okay.
you're just, doing nothing. So there's not
Yeah.
a ton more. We're not climbing Mount Everest here. So I just want you to tell yourself that, like, instead of like, I just need to take action, it's more like, I just need to do a little bit more. You're already really far along.
Yeah. So I have this, I just had a thought come up that
Right.
I heard you earlier talk about not good enough things. And so the process that I went through a year ago was very much a lot,
Sounds
like
like it.
all good enough stuff, because obviously it resulted in a pretty significant weight loss. So now I'm sitting here today thinking I should go back to that because it worked. And the things you're talking about now, I really don't want to feel this way, but my thoughts are coming up that are like, but is that really going to be good enough to lose more weight?
Well, Susan, I invite you to tell yourself the truth. Did it work?
It worked for a while. It didn't work for good.
So, did it work?
It did not work.
So, it is so tempting for our brains to say, Weight Watchers worked, keto worked, whatever it was, that like fantasy magic cure worked. But be honest with yourself, because if it had worked, we wouldn't be here.
I would not be here talking to you, yes.
And so it's normal to have that thought that like XYZ worked and I should go back to that. And that's when you catch it and you say, no, honey, it did not work because here I am. And so I do need something that actually works. I need a process that can work in my real life, in my future self's version of what I want to live versus like some magic pill.
I was actually thinking I should go back to the NoBS course
Okay.
and just like start over, because that might not be a bad idea to go through the process of coming up with the lists of good, better, best foods. And I don't know, that's I, it's probably something that I could tell you how to do it in my sleep, but I'm not actually doing it. So, I mean, like, that was one thing I thought of, was to go back to basics.
Yes, and for you, Susan, I would prioritize doing over learning.
Okay.
Because going back to the NoBS modules, which are amazing, it could give you the false sense of like, I'm doing something while I'm eating my cookies, or while I'm, not that there's anything wrong with cookies, but like, where you're telling me is like, I'm just having a hard time kind of doing what I want to do. Watching the NoBS course again is a productive spinning potentially for you.
Yeah, that's very perceptive, because I tend to do that with a lot of things.
Right.
If I feel like I'm doing something by learning something, then check, I'm done.
You don't need to take any more notes. You need to take a little bit of action, a little bit, a not good enough, an all or something kind of action. And so you get to decide what that looks like. I would always say stopping at enough is the main lever that will lead to weight loss. That being said, planning is an amazing tool in your weight loss toolbox. It's not the only one. If you feel like it helps you, let's talk about that. But if you're like, planning makes me feel restricted and I end up breaking it anyway, and then I feel like shit, let's just talk about stopping at enough. Where do you think you want to focus?
I think planning would be helpful, because it will get me in the routine of not ignoring. Like, I tend to just mindlessly eat sometimes. It's like, why did he eat that?
Okay.
So I feel like that might be helpful if I plan and plan realistically, not being super over restrictive. That would be helpful to just be have more awareness about what I'm eating and why and when.
And so, as a kind of loose guideline, I would encourage you at least once a day to be planning in a good food because your brain is used to that, your brain wants that. And your brain does not want to go back to keto or something like that. It feels like, ooh, bad. So, like, plan in a good food somewhere in the day. For me personally, I plan it around either 4 o'clock when I'm tired or after dinner. So, I plan it during the times of days that I'm going to be kind of needing a pick me up. And then also plan in a better, best food, possibly for breakfast or lunch when you have a little bit more energy, that type of thing. And then see how that goes. See how, like, take it in like baby steps. And if another great option is to give yourself choices. For lunch today, I'm going to have either the Panera salad or the Panera turkey sandwich. It'll depend, like this or that. And then if you find yourself being like, but I really want the cinnamon crunch bagel, then you're like, you know, this could be an emotional thing here. If I gave myself two options and I still don't want them, like something else is going on.
Yeah, and I had a hard time choosing between those two things because stopping in enough late in the past, I've had in last in the time when I was on the I was losing, I was really tuned in to I haven't had enough, I'm gonna stop. And lately, like last night, we went out to dinner and I ate everything on my plate and I was stuffed, and that was not the right thing to do because I needed to stop when I had enough. And I felt miserable after. So, that isn't a non-issue. It's just that I had to, if I have to pick one, I think planning would make sense so that I can get in tune with like really being intentional about finding what will give me the satisfaction and still be on the still be more balanced than what I've been doing lately.
Okay. I'm going to toss a hypothesis at you, and I want you to tell me where it lands and where it doesn't. My hypothesis is last night you went to dinner and there was probably a point where you're like, oh, I might be at enough. But then there was another part of your brain that's like, you know, if we're going to lose weight, we need to do that strict keto thing. And your brain was like, oh, hells no, Rebel City. And you're like, I'm finishing this thing because I can. And so, since your brain is like, the way we lose weight is on keto, and I don't want to do that because that feels awful. And so the rebel comes out and it's like, this, whereas if you said, I'm going to make a plan that is really, really reasonable with this or that options, and I'm going to give myself freedom to make a choice, then your rebel's like, well, what am I rebelling against? Because I got all the choices. Where does that land? Where does it not land?
So I think the I did actually leave some bites behind, but I'd gone too far. Like I was already stuffed by the time I did that.
Okay.
So it's not, I don't think the leaving two bites behind, which works for a lot of people who were on in the Clean Plate Club. I understand that works really well and I've tried that, but it doesn't really move the needle for me because I think it's more of a, it's on my plate, I'm going to eat it and it tastes good and I don't want to stop. And that all sounds like, like my child trying to, rebel against the against the plan. But one thing I just thought of was, and what would have really been helpful, the portions were large. I could have, when it came to the table, cut it in half and just like focus, like I'm only going to eat this half before I find out if I want more. And so that actually would have been helpful.
One of my secret hacks, I did this yesterday, when I go out, is I ask for a to-go box when the food arrives. And then if I can't see it, I'm totally happy with the half that is left. But if I can see the food that's left, I'm like, I mean, I could keep eating. So that's my hack, is I get
That's a
like.
great idea. We don't go out that often, but when we do, it's really if I'm really being intentional about what I'm ordering and watching what how I feel and taking the time to think about how I feel before I eat another bite. I was doing that for a while and I've just sort of lost it lately. So I do know I can do it. I just need to get back in the habit.
You remember earlier when I talked about needing to clean your house every now and then? It's like,
Yeah, right.
this is normal. This nothing has gone wrong. This is normal. You just need to like break out the 409 and a paper towel. Like, maybe we're just gonna start with, one little countertop by the coffee maker. We don't need to clean the whole house, just a little bit. So Susan, what do you have an accountability group? Can you make a post in Facebook? Can you send us a note and ask coaches just so you have somebody checking in on you?
I'll send something in to ask coaches.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I'll do that. I've not been using that efficiently and effectively, so it's an amazing tool that we all should be using, so
Well, and I'll tell you what, we've got people, I mean, all the time, but particularly during this month of Drop It Like It's Hot, who like, they're like, I am using Ask Coaches as my accountability. And they're like, I'm writing you on, here's today what happened, what my plan is, what I check in. And like, we can reply with questions. And sometimes it's just like, you're crushing it. Great job, hon. So that is absolutely a way you can use Ask Coaches. We're here to support you.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. I really, and when you write into Ask Coaches, like, give me, it's like, hey, attention, Lizzie. I may or may not be able to get to it, but like I really want to hear how your planning is going.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate
So
you.
welcome. All right. Thank you so much. I'm really glad you raised your hand. Thank you.
Thank you. Me too.
All righty. Take care. That was so good. So much good stuff. It's just like cleaning our house, team. It's really normal that every now and then we need to brush up on our habits and so forth. Zoom user, I am promoting you. I haven't seen whether or not you're saying yes. So I'm wondering if Zoom user just is not available. So we're going to go with Lisa. Lisa L. And here we go.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing, Lisa?
Pretty good. These have been really good calls so far.
Awesome. Thank you.
So I've actually been doing pretty well lately,
Nice.
averaging about 0.5 pound a week down, which is better than I call it the mountain range on repeat that I've been on for a long time. And then Friday I had a really off day, and so I wanted to dig into this a little bit because I feel like there's an opportunity to bounce back faster. So I started prioritizing physical activity of some sort before I start working in the day because my habit has been I just sit down and start working. And then before I know it, I haven't eaten breakfast. And it's not a good pattern, right? But it's comfortable somehow. So I started getting physical activity in. I didn't do that Friday. And then the next thing I know, I'm like paying attention to work that's hard or that depends on other people. I'm not sure I even want to do it. Actually, I know I don't want to do it, but I'm not sure I have to do it. And then I just watch the whole day kind of not unfold the way I want to. And I was like, wait a minute, I can kind of see this happening, but I'm looking for where do I like nip in and say I'm stopping here instead of like, I'm going to keep observing it happening.
Okay. I mean, first of all, it's clear you have a lot of awareness That's amazing that you're like, I'm seeing my day happen to me. Tell me about, so you're trying to get in, prioritize movement before work because you know that it sounds like if you don't, it's probably not going to happen. Is that accurate? Okay.
It's really hard, right, to pull myself out.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Like if I don't have my workout done by 9 a.m., it's probably not happening. So on Friday, do you recall, was there something in particular that got in the way of doing movement before work?
I scheduled a chat with someone who was in Ireland, so I had to try to do that early.
Okay, makes
And
sense.
then I, that was it. That was the start of my day. So instead of waking up and going and exercising, I woke up, got ready, and did that.
Okay. So, what level of forethought, if any, when you scheduled this meeting with someone in Ireland, did you say, like, oh, I'm meeting with them early. Where's my movement going to fit in? Did you have any thought about that?
I think it was just a little bit of defeated, like, oh, I have to put that in the middle of when I would do my exercise.
Okay. So that happens. This is a great opportunity to kind of like troubleshoot and course correct if this ever happens again. Do you frequently have calls with people that are, in different time zones ahead of you?
Yeah, although mostly I can choose. I
Okay.
don't normally have meetings that early. This was when I scheduled because I wanted to get a hold of this person before the weekend. But then I also didn't stop afterwards, right? I didn't have my call and then say, now I go exercise. It was like, now I go and start doing the thing. And I think it kind of gets around negative feelings about the work.
Okay, so Lisa, let's imagine you and I are doing private coaching together, and we've just had this. I said, all right, Lisa, let's plan ahead for next week. Next Thursday, you're going to have a call with somebody in Ireland or what have you again. You know, you want to prioritize exercise. And also, there's this weird not wanting to get to work feeling. How are we going to troubleshoot that ahead of time? How are we going to plan ahead for that? What would you say?
Well, I could block the second or another time slot so I don't have a meeting following it.
Okay.
And then that would give me time to go do something, some
Nice.
physical activity.
I love that plan. And then, as your private coach, I would say, and what do you expect your brain to say when you get off the call and you have this time slot and your brain's like, I need to go work out right now, or I could keep working?
I'm gonna think actually it's kind of cold. I don't know if I really want to go outside. And the second thing is I need to go ask this other person a question now. And I want to get it in before they're done for the weekend too.
Okay. Great. You are predicting your brain's patterns. And so when your brain says, I got to talk to this other person, I want to do this, this, and that, what do you want to, how do you want to respond?
That's tough because later in the day, I was like, maybe I'm going to see if I could get out of doing this, right? Like, maybe it's not as urgent as I think it is. But because they were both leaving like by 9 a.m., I didn't feel I had that. I had like that urgency feeling. But I think you're right. Maybe I could go and say, do I really have to solve this today? Is it really that urgent? Why do I think it's that urgent?
Good questions.
Yeah.
It sounds like the answer to that question is you thought it was urgent because they're in a further ahead time zone. It's Friday for them, so they're going to be signing off work. So you felt an urgency to close the loop on it by 9 a.m. your time because you didn't have them available to you. So that makes sense. So I guess the next question then is, do I need to solve this by 9 a.m. my time? Or can it wait till Monday? Do you have an answer to that?
I did, but I got to it later. And I'm going to be honest, I went and did other work too, right? Like I continued on with my day and I had other meetings and I did stuff. And so, but it kind of was with this hanging over my head a bit. So I wonder if I am procrastinating as well.
Okay.
You don't break out and say, do the one thing healthy for myself that I really, that actually to me is more important than work. I don't know why I don't break out and do that.
Well, there's a couple different factors that could be going on here. Certainly, once you've started your workday, there's some momentum to that. There's also some like, I want to be a good employee, or I feel a little weird taking a break to go exercise in the middle of my workday, even if you work from home. So I want to acknowledge it can feel strange to stop work, even if you start at 6 a.m., to stop work and go do something for you and pick up work again. There is a natural reluctance to that. So because being aware of that tells you that you need to put in a little bit more effort to make it happen if you're going to make it happen, if you're okay with that.
Oh, so maybe what I need to do is practice taking that break when I'm not having feelings about it, right? Like, because I'm trying to do it when it's hard to do. And if I did it when it wasn't hard to do and got better at saying, I'm just taking 10 minutes right now to go do a thing, maybe that's where I need to like get that interruption able to happen.
I think that sounds like a great practice, but help me understand when you say, when I'm having feelings, is this feelings about the work you're doing or feelings
Yeah.
about not wanting to work out?
Probably both. Well, oh, not, no, it's not the not wanting to work out, but it's like I should have done or this, or I should be getting my exercise, but then there's like feelings about the work. And I think once I'm having the feelings, it's harder for me to then take time for myself, because this happens also in the afternoons frequently where I don't want to work anymore. My back has started to kind of hurt, which means I really need to get up and like go for a nice walk, but I'll persist and try to keep working. And I know
Why?
it's like it's,
Why is
I
that?
know why. Why do I do that? Because I feel like I need to get the stuff done. And I think intellectually, I know that stopping and taking a break is really useful, and I might come back and be more productive. Because Friday, I don't
Read
feel
my
like I got a
mind.
ton done, right? Like at the end of the day, I'm like, well, I kind of did a bunch of stuff, but I didn't really finish things. And then I tried to skirt out of the thing that felt important. So I think I kind of hit it, which is I need to establish that practice when nothing's going on in my feelings. So that by the time I get to my feelings and it matters, I already have the path.
Yes. And I'd like to offer you a hack.
Yeah.
Similar to when I was talking to Susan, I was like, tell yourself the truth. Lisa, I encourage you to tell yourself the truth, which is your day just goes better when you move a little.
Yeah.
And believe me, like that has gotten me out the door into doing a teensy bit of movement, like a little bit is good enough, more times than I can count because either I didn't sleep well, I just don't feel like it. I got a bunch of work to do. There are all kinds of reasons to skip the workout. Like there's no shortage. But I have learned the hard way that my day kind of goes like your day, of like it just sort of happens to me when I don't start it intentionally. And so the one sentence that gets me out the door is like, just do something. Your day goes so much better if you just do something. And so when your brain is telling you, I should stay at work, I should sit here longer, even though my back is hurting, I should, all of the things, tell yourself the truth. Things just go better when I just do a little bit.
Okay, I think that will work.
Yeah. And the corollary to that is a little bit needs to be good enough. Like 3 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever it is, allow that to count and then be like, okay, now I can go back to work or I can do whatever it is. But yeah, just give yourself the tell yourself the truth that like the shoulding around work, it's not helping. Whereas if you just say,
Yeah.
what's actually going to help? 3 minutes of movement, 5 minutes of movement.
Okay, I'll try that. Thank you.
You're welcome. So what's your action set
Yeah.
moving forward from here?
Actually, I'm going to try it this morning because I'm doing chores, right? So I can stop after this call and go do something and then come back to what I'm doing. And I'm going to think of when is a good place to insert. Again, not where it's hard or where I'm noticing the problem so much, but where's like just some easy places to insert it.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
And I like that you're looking for easy places. Like if you want to look for like the area of least resistance. I had a client call earlier today and she was asking herself to like meditate after she got home from work. And like, that is a big ask. Like, can we do it at an easier time of day? So yeah, look for the easier
Yeah.
times.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Thank you so much for raising your hand, Lisa. All right. Hi. Okay. We have a different Zoom user, so I think this Zoom user is probably available. I'm crossing my fingers. So Zoom user number two. Here we go.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Hello, Wanda.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Well, I was on been on the hold all the time, and you Zoom user. I don't know how to change my name to so that you can recognize me, but I guess you were calling a different Zoom user a couple of times earlier.
It's a popular name today. Well, I'm so happy to see you,
Good
my dear. How are
to see you
things?
too. I'm doing good. I have a quick question before I pose the what I wanted to get coached on. So I went on a cruise from 6:30 to 7:09, and I gained 11 pounds on the cruise. So I since lost 11 pounds and plus 2.5. So in reporting to Drop It Like It's Hot, do I report 13.5 pounds or just the 2.5 pounds that I lost?
Girl, what do you think? 13.5. Come on. It
Okay.
all counts.
All right. I since it was weight that I already had lost and gained back, and then I was thinking I should just report the 2.5.
No, we're all about the credit here. Give yourself as much credit as possible. One of the keys to feeling good, excuse me, one of the keys to weight loss is feeling good. So give yourself all the credit. Yes,
Okay.
13
All
and a half.
right.
High
All
five.
right. Thank you. So what I want to coaching on is my mindset. So, I've been working on a couple of goals at this beginning of the year. And, the swimming goal was a goal that I was working on, getting over the fear of swimming. And I've mastered that. Now I'm swimming 6 days a week, an hour a day. And then the other goal was to start riding my bike. And I started that goal in the goal of mastery. And I didn't complete it in the goals mastery, but I have since accomplished that as far as like getting back on the bike and riding it again. I rode it for the first time successfully last Sunday. And then
Hey.
that's with my trainer. I mean, he didn't ride the bike with me. He rode my track bike while I rode the townie, because I ultimately ended up going to buy another townie because I had fear of mounting the bike and being and not being able to put my feet on the ground. So
Yeah.
we just rode it for a short distance last Sunday, and
Yeah.
then I took it out again on my own last Wednesday, and that was I'm gonna say that was successful, even though it was a short distance, but it was successful. But yesterday, I took the bike out with my trainer again, and the inevitable happened that I didn't want to happen. I fell, and because the problem that I'm having is that yes, I can. He helped me get started, mount the bike, and get started, and then I rode it. And then, this is last week. Then I rode it, for a mile, and then I came back and he helped me dismount it. But I really didn't need much help dismounting it. But the where I have fear is that like trying to mount it, like say not in because I use my car or something to hold on to it to mount it. And when I rode it both times last Sunday and last Wednesday, I didn't stop. I didn't I just kept riding, and then I didn't stop until I came back home to to stop. And then that's the first time I stopped. So I told him I wanted him to help me mount it, like say if I'm not having to use something to hold on to. And that's what we was trying to do yesterday when I fell. And I didn't want to get back on the bike, but he encouraged me to get back on the bike, and I did, and I rode it back home because I wanted to walk the bike home after I fell. And so, I told him, well, we had already discussed prior to me falling that we was going to try again today when we have our session today. And part of me is like, want to do it and told him that I would do it, but part of me is like kind of hesitant on doing it. And then the other thing that I have in my head, back when I set this goal in January, he told me that that I shouldn't, pursue this goal because, I need bilateral knee replacements, and they're not going to do that until I lose another 100 pounds. I already lost 130 pounds, but I got to lose another 100 pounds in order to get this knee surgery. He felt like I should have waited and wait until after that, the knee surgery. And I told him, no, I'm not waiting until after that. I'm going to do this. So, give him some credit. He said that, but when I kept pursuing, saying that I was going to, accomplish this goal, he didn't down talk it anymore. And
Okay.
when I successfully rode the bikes last Sunday, he was really happy with me that I had rode the bike. But then, and he told me then his thoughts of that, how persistent I am. Even though he told me his thoughts and I, said I wasn't going to wait, then once he saw that my mind was made up that I was going to do it, he didn't bring any more negative talk about me not doing it. But when I fell yesterday, he kind of mentioned it, that's why I didn't really want you to do it. And
Okay.
so I don't know, I got all these thoughts in my head about getting back on the bike again, even though I did already do that. I got back on yesterday, but kind of hesitant on getting back on. And this morning, I generally go swimming, like I said, sw 6 days a week, Sunday through fr Friday. And I didn't go swimming because I fell on my shoulder, and I didn't go swimming this morning. So all of that negative talk is in my head.
Yeah, okay. So, how is it? Why is it really normal that you would feel reluctant to get on the bike today, even though you said you would?
Because I don't like to, I mean, me falling on the ground is not a good sight, and not a good feeling.
Yeah. So it's completely normal. Like, if you were excited to get back on the bike today, I'd be like, I mean, that's cool, but are you a robot? So, yeah. Very, very normal that you would feel reluctant today. How is the fact that you fell yesterday, how could that be happening for you instead of happening to you?
I don't see how it's happening for me. I mean, I don't see falling anything positive about it.
Nothing?
Well, maybe it maybe that I even though I fell, I got back up and got back on.
And
Maybe that.
what does that show you?
That I'm persistent, maybe.
And resilient and a freaking badass? Maybe.
Thank you. Yeah.
Also, perhaps you had said you had had a, the inevitable happened. So I'm guessing a little bit, but it sounds like you had had a fear of falling. Makes
Yes.
sense. Okay, we got that out of the way. Now you know you can fall off the bike and live to tell the tale and actually even get back on it and ride home. Hey, you did not know that yesterday.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Also, hypothetically, since fear of falling could have been a thing that was sort of out there in your brain of like, okay, I've been riding this bike, but I'm afraid I might fall. What would happen if I fall? Okay, rip that Band-Aid off. We've done there, been there, done that. And again, like you got back up. You rode that day. And so now you can be like, when your brain says, oh, I'm afraid I'm gonna fall, you'd be like, okay, yeah, that wouldn't be fun, but I already know I can get back up.
Okay. I don't know. Yeah. And I think I had to, because I know I'm not helping myself because I keep replaying it over and over and over in my head. And I know that that's not helpful either.
Well, let's tweak that. What part of the experience could you replay that would make you feel different?
Maybe more so focuses on getting back up and getting back on the bike.
Yeah.
As opposed to focusing, I'm focusing on the stop, trying to stop, mount the bike, and then and falling.
Yeah. So again, it's really normal that your brain would kind of replay this over again because it's your brain trying to protect you. It's saying, yikes, look out, this could happen. Not a problem. When it does that, you can simply just like redirect that energy and say, like, and remember how we got up? Remember how it felt? Like, it felt a little scary, it felt a little wobbly, but like, I got home. And how did it feel to ride yourself home? when you got home. How'd you feel?
I felt good. And then he had rode ahead of me and to so that he could help me dismount the bike. But although he was there to help me dismount it, I really didn't need much help because I was able to do it myself.
Okay. So, what's your takeaway from this?
That yes, I fell. And maybe it was a good thing I fell. I mean, even though my shoulder is really sore, but it's getting better. Even as we speak, it was really sore this morning. And I got that out of the way. Falling is part of, of the journey. And I got right back up and I rode the bike home. And I can do it again today.
Yeah. Amazing.
Thank you.
And just a little bit of like tactical stuff, is it possible to lower the seat and make it easier to get on and off the bike?
Yeah, so that's possible. But then, because the seat is a little bit higher, but then it's higher because of like when I pedal, before when I had the seat in a lower position, when I pedal, I was having pain in my knees. And so that's why I felt like the seat was at a good height because I wasn't having that pain in my knees. But if I lower the seat, then it would decrease my anxiety as far as I would be able to do why I bought do what I intended to do when I bought the townie is, be able to kind of better plant my feet on the ground and straddle the bike, when I'm falling. I mean, when I'm riding it. So I have to, maybe I'll look at lowering the seat a tad bit to see if that helps a little bit to allow me to be able to plant my feet on the ground and not have the knee pain when I'm pedaling.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. If the lower seat was hurting your knee, random thought, like, could there be maybe like YouTube videos on like here's the hacks and tricks to make it easier to get out on and off the bike?
Yeah. I was talking to somebody and somebody asked me, this is what we was trying to do, had told me to use a curb to help mount the bike. And so that's what I was trying to do when I fell. So I just need to keep practicing. I think that, eventually maybe I'll get better as I keep practicing. Just, fight through the fear and just keep practicing and then I get better.
What is it? John Acuff says that fear is an invitation to bravery, something like that. So,
Yes.
yeah, I would say that, again, you've already demonstrated you have so much courage and so much resilience. Obviously, you want to be safe. But if continuing to ride the bike is really something that's important to you, then what you get to focus on is not so much the falling, it's the getting back up.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
You're so welcome. And please, as always, like if you do end up going, even just getting on the bike and being like, nope, I'm done, that's still a win today. And whatever
Okay.
you choose, like send us a note in Facebook and let us know how it goes.
Well, that's what I have a hard time doing because I mean, a couple of times I went out and before I successfully rode it last Sunday. Was I took it out in the driveway and mounted it and or straddled the bike, but I couldn't bring myself to actually ride it, and I didn't count that as a win.
Wanda,
I
why did you not count that?
mean, because I didn't move. I didn't do any movement as far as like, taking it out of the driveway. So.
My dear, the key to consistency is allowing a little bit to count, and even just straddling the bike and being like, this is what it could potentially maybe a little bit feel like if I moved, counts.
Okay.
Yeah, everything counts.
All right. Thank you, Coach Lizzie. I miss working with you.
Yeah, I miss working with you too, and I'm so proud of you. It's so good to see you. You, Rwanda, I hope you know how much of an inspiration you are to all of us.
Thank you. You
Yeah.
all are inspiration to me.
You really are. Big hugs. So good to see you today. Thank you for raising your hand.
You.
Awesome. Man. So inspiring, right? Okay, we got some Q&A. Anonymous says, Coach Lizzie, two questions. Number one, I'm wondering what your good food is at 4 p.m. or after dinner. Oh, you're gonna be thrilled. It's so exciting. And number two, I'm also wondering if you want to cuss some to help us drink more water. Fuck yeah. Let's do it. Oops, my kids might have heard that. Okay. Thank you, Anonymous. That was a good laugh. What is my good food at 4 p.m.? So here's the thing. I'm a pretty boring eater. I eat most of the same stuff most of the time. At 4 p.m., it is usually crackers, maybe a spoonful of peanut butter, but like crackers, it's my exciting thing. What can I say? And after dinner, there's no question, it's chocolate. Chocolate, all the chocolate. But my hack for after dinner is basically like I know what I'm gonna have, but I confine it to like how much. So one of my go-to tools, particularly for somebody who's going on vacation or there's gonna be a special food available and so forth, is like, all right, plan ahead. You know you're gonna want it. Like for me, it's cookies. Those are sort of the special occasion kind of thing. And so you say, all right, I'm gonna have some cookies. So think about like how much would be good and how much the next day would I regret? Because you know, like let's say it's I've said 2 cookies would be good, but 3 I would regret tomorrow. I know for a fact that after I have cookie number 2, my brain's gonna be like, you know what? 3 would be great. I know that's happening. So I want to have thought ahead, how much would I regret? So that when my brain says 3 would be great, I also have the thought, but like, yeah, I already thought ahead that like I would regret number 3. So it just gives me that pause, which is another one of the things that we've been working on through Drop It Like It's Hot, is that pause can be a win. Even if I end up having 3, I still had success in that I paused and I thought about it and I made an intentional choice rather than a reactive one. So thank you, Anonymous. That was really fun. And let's see, Sharon asks, is stevia okay instead of diet soda? I think so. I drink diet soda. I drink Coke Zero. So like we all have our vices. Just try and get your water in as well if you're using stevia as a way to sweeten it. All good. Yeah. So that takes care of the Q&A. That takes care of everybody who has raised their hands. Susan says the difference between 2 and 3 cookies can be huge. Yeah. And it's all up to you. Like you get to decide. And even if you're 3 cookies in and you're like, ooh, I had decided that 2 was my limit, great. You can stop at 3. You can stop at 4. You don't have to be like, oh, well, here you go, Anonymous. You don't have to say, fuck it. I'm gonna have the whole sleeve. Okay, you guys. I the swearing, it's not quite my style, but I can swing a little bit. So anyway, that's just a way of saying like you can pause and overeat and have it there. It doesn't have to turn into an effety and so forth. Yes, thank you, Lisa. So great to push a coach out of her comfort zone. I'm sweating a little bit, even into this flimsy thing. See, I got all dialed up for you guys, but I am still wearing my flip-flops, so gotta keep it real. All right, everyone. This has been so much fun. Thank you so much for the opportunity to coach with you today. Thanks for spending your Sunday with me. Nancy, I see you out there. Happy Sunday church, the Church of No BS. Y'all have a great rest of your day. And if you want to spend some time with me this Thursday evening, I think it's the nighttime eating call. It's one of those. But I'll be on Thursday. So I'll see you then. All right. Thanks, everyone. Have a great day. Bye.